I do believe there are many, many more children with autistic-like behaviors today. It's not that we're being able to recognize it more. It just wasn't there years ago, but it is in epidemic proportions today.
As far as I'm concerned, my view is that the rise in autism is not a true rise. A huge contributory factor in the rise in cases is the change in the criteria. It's a huge widening of the criteria, it's a shifting of the goalpost. We had a very narrow idea of what autism might be, and we now have quite a wide area.
I do believe autism is rising in the population, and I do believe it is an environmentally caused rise in the population. I do not believe that this is a strictly genetic disorder.
Over the past 20 years, there's been a sharp rise in the number of children diagnosed with conditions on the autism spectrum. But do we really have more children with autism? Is this statistical increase reflecting a real growth in numbers, or is it simply down to better recognition, heightened public awareness, and shifts in medical diagnosis criteria? This issue is being investigated by Dr. Ginny Russell, a developmental psychologist and a research fellow at the University of Exeter's Medical School and College of Social Sciences.
On the one hand, there are a lot of people that think that there really has been a rise in incidence, if you like, of children with autistic behaviour. So there are more kids running around now who are displaying these types of socially withdrawn behaviours with problems with communication, and also these repetitive behaviours that underpin autism than there used to be. Another group of people don't think that's true. They think that actually the reason that the diagnosis of autism has risen is just purely due to the fact that the diagnosis has got wider, criteria have been expanded, and that there's more awareness of it.
Professor Uta Frith has pioneered research in autism and has seen significant changes since she started working in the field nearly half a century ago.
There is no doubt that it is a real rise in cases identified. It's a huge rise compared to, say, the 1960s when I started being interested in autism. Then it was considered incredibly rare. But there have been many changes since the 1960s and now in the way we look at autism. So the biggest change actually has been a radical shift in the criteria that are being used to diagnose autism. Essentially, they have been widened considerably. So that means a lot more individuals are diagnosed as autistic. They were there before, they just weren't diagnosed as autistic.
However, there are many others who think that the rise is real, that there are more children with autism symptoms than there used to be. In the United States, a campaigning group called Mums Against Mercury believes that the use of a mercury-based preservative in vaccines and the flu shot are to blame. Their founder and president is Amy Carson.
I do not believe that autism numbers have increased because people are more aware of it. You know, if you've ever been around an autistic child, you know immediately that they're autistic or that there is something wrong with them. It is not a guessing game. You either have it or you don't, and it's very, very easy to see. We simply did not have children like this 2 decades ago.
Back in the UK, Seth Kendall is another advocate of the idea that we do have more children with autism symptoms today than previously, but he has different thoughts on the causes.
I believe recent changes, accelerating changes in diet, are the primary environmental cause of the rise in autism, and in fact the rise in all of the other conditions that are known to associate with autism. In particular, in the Western diet, the obsession with eating sweet foods, in particular foods that are high in fructose or sucrose, which is effectively a glucose bound to a fructose. I believe we're eating far more fructose than we were evolved to consume in our evolutionary past. The side effect or consequence of this is that the undigested fructose and other sugars and carbohydrates remain in the digestive tract and are then fermented by gut bacteria. As a result of this, gut bacteria overgrow and both cause damage to the gut wall and furthermore It is my opinion that fragments of gut bacteria escape into the bloodstream, only very small quantities, and then go on to trigger an immune reaction in the blood, ultimately producing something called bradykinin that is a potent sensitizer of sensory neurons and goes on to trigger the clinical symptoms of autism and all the other sensory conditions that I believe associate with autism.
The ideas outlined by Seth Kendall and Amy Carson are just two of many theories advocating that there are more children with symptoms of autism today than in the past. At the University of Exeter, Dr. Ginny Russell's research has involved analysing information gathered on thousands of children in two birth cohorts a decade apart in time.
What we did was look at children at age 7 or 8. We looked at two time points in 2008 and 1998, and we compared behaviours in the children that indicated autism, so autism-type symptoms, with levels of diagnosis to see if there was a parallel rise. What we did see was a really clear increase in the number of children with diagnosis of autism over this 10-year period. The chances of having a diagnosis increased by over 1.5 times between 2008 and 1998. What we didn't expect to see, but we did see, was a parallel increase in the number of children, or the proportion of children, I should say, with severe autism symptoms. Well, these were measures of behaviour, actually, that were the sort of things that we thought were indicative of autism. So there did seem to be more children that displayed these type of behaviours in the later cohort.
Dr. Russell's research adds to the process of gathering evidence on whether there are more children with autism than 20 years ago. It's clear, however, that more study is required before this question can be conclusively answered.
Is there an epidemic of autism? No, most definitely not. Epidemic is a wholly inappropriate word to use. It suggests that it's an infectious disease and it's very common. Autism is neither of those things. There are a few other alternative explanations for our findings, and it certainly isn't a conclusive answer. We haven't arrived at the solution to the autism debate, that's for sure. One of the alternative explanations is that parents and teachers may have over-identified these types of difficulties, these autism-type difficulties in 2008 compared to 1998, just because people were so much more aware of those kind of difficulties. And that is a big limitation to our work. We also had less than perfect measures. We would have preferred something that was what we call a validated autism scale. And there was a geographical variation issue because one of our cohorts was based in southwest England, whereas the other one was spread throughout the UK. So comparing those two different geographical regions is a limitation to this work.
Whether future studies will replicate these findings or not, the Exeter study has provided food for thought about the causes of the rise in autism diagnosis. Professor Uta Frith says that because children who are diagnosed with autism can be so different from each other, it also raises questions regarding classifying them all under one diagnostic umbrella.
I think the crucial issues that are now raised is whether it is sensible to stick with such wide criteria for the diagnosis. Would it not be a good idea perhaps to think of subgroups of autism and somehow divide this huge spectrum so that it becomes more amenable to further study?